welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about particularly hallelujah about being spat out of the mouth, but so let's go back to this. But you, man of God, woman of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. That doesn't sound like part-time Christianity to me. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life for which you were called when you were made, when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Amen. I understand that we had quite a preach from Mr. Daniels over there last week. Thank you, Pastor Chris. I haven't been able to listen to it yet because none of them are on the internet, but not till Richard gets back, who's the man that does. But I've had so many people come and tell me it was brilliant. Hallelujah. So, are you living it? That's the thing, isn't it? When somebody brings a word, when you walk out the door, are you living it? We can get our ears tickled by the word, but really what God says is it going into your heart? Is it making a difference? And in this letter that Paul's written to Timothy, this is the same letter we looked at last time when I was here, when we went through the controversial little bit, danced through them, skipped over them, went back to them, delved into them, thought about them, and the ladies seem to enjoy it the most, but never mind. But then Paul goes on and he's teaching Timothy really how to run a church, how to help people come alive in Christ. But towards the end of the letter, Paul really comes to Timothy and says, but if all this is going to work, if anything's going to happen where you are, if you're really going to see God move in Ephesus, then Timothy, you personally have got to do this. And you personally have got to teach this to others to do this. Because there aren't any part-time Christians in the kingdom. You saw or you get interviewed for that position. Interviewed by. So, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. Righteousness. So pursue, grab hold of, seek after walking in that right relationship with God. Righteousness implies being right with the Lord. All right, it means that his claim upon your life is seen to be justified. Well, his claim upon your life is justified only by the sacrifice of Jesus, and that is why you are made righteous. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. So pursue righteousness. Seek would be just as good, really. Seek godliness. Godliness is an interesting word, actually, because you can be godly as a non-Christian or as a Christian. It means a reverence for God. It means, It means, it says in my notes here, a well-directed reverence towards God. It means honoring God. So whereas anybody can be godly or have a form of godliness, the Greek word doesn't actually even include the word God. It just means a reverence towards something. In this context, a reverence towards God. But a person who doesn't know the Lord cannot be righteous. Now that might sound like, you know, who are you to say that? You know, there are some very holy people around. Well, the righteousness that this passage is talking about is that one in which God's claim upon you is valid because you have been justified in his sight by the blood of Jesus. You are made right with God. So you can only be righteous if you've realized that nobody is righteous. You can only be righteous if you've realized that God is the only one who is righteous. And you can only be righteous if you know you can never be righteous. You can only be given righteousness from the Lord. All right, and a lot of people struggle with, am I holy enough to meet with God? And when the presence of God was here early enough, maybe some of you even had feelings of being unworthy. Everybody in the world, on the planet, no matter how holy they are in people's eyes, are not righteous enough to meet with God apart from Jesus Christ. That is the only qualification that God has laid down. Somebody had to pay the price that justice could be met. Because we've all went our own way. We all decided to do our own thing. And so we need to pursue this righteousness. What is it? It's a being right with God. It's making sure we keep a short account on what goes wrong in our lives so that we're seeking after righteousness. This kingdom's only going to grow if we're a righteous people. This kingdom's only going to grow if we're a godly people, full of godliness. What is godliness? Having a reverence for God. We don't take him casual. Now, we can have a intense, intimate relationship with Father. Jesus called him Abba, which was a kind of a meaning of daddy. There's more reverence in the word, but it's that intimate, close relationship, but still honoring God in the way we live and the way we relate to others and putting him first in everything. And Paul is writing to Timothy, pursue, get up, go after. Don't let out of your sight righteousness and godliness. What's next? Righteousness, godliness, and faith. Amen? Faith is the Greek word is pistis. All right, meaning belief. And it means an unshakable conviction. Go after faith. How do you get an unshakable conviction on something? You can't just conjure it up. Well, to seek after faith, there's only one way you can get it. And it's through this word. You can't get faith, actually, from having nice feelings. Now, I'm not against nice feelings. That almost sounds like I'm mocking them. When you worship, I want to experience God. But that won't give you faith. That will just give you feelings. And who knows that feelings can drive you in all kinds of different directions. You can feel like doing this. You can feel like a cup of coffee. You can feel like going to bed. It's nothing to do with the truth. If you're going to have faith, it's got to be based on the truth, regardless of how you feel. And praise God when your feelings are in line with the truth. And praise God when your feelings are not in line with the truth. Because this is far more reliable than what we feel like. What we feel like depends on whether we had pizza the night before or too many bananas for breakfast. All right? Depends on whether we got a touch of the flu, especially if we're a man flu. Yeah? Then we feel grumpy. But the word never changes. So we're going to pursue faith, which means I'm going to read the word. I'm going to study the word. I'm not going to be a part-time Christian. You know, we're called to be the difference that makes a difference. This church is called to see a move of God in Scarborough, Yorkshire, into the nation and the nations. That's a huge, huge call of God. We repeat it again and again, and we look around and think, how is that going to happen? I'll tell you how it's going to happen. A people who are not part-time, but have a holy, committed lifestyle to their Lord. Not because they think they've got to have a holy, committed lifestyle to the Lord, but because they've fallen in love with him. And when they fell in love with him, they want to spend time with him and they want to know him. And how do you know Jesus? By getting into the word of God. Hallelujah. Well, he's giving some enthusiastic nods, being a teacher of the word over there. Hallelujah. So, seek faith. Be persuaded, it also means. It's an interesting word. Be persuaded about who God is. Be persuaded about the nature of God. Paul in Acts talks about we sought to persuade men. We sought to show them that this is the truth, that this is the right way, that this has life. Amen? Let's seek after faith. It sort of sounds strange to say let's pursue faith. It's almost like, well, isn't it just something that you get as a gift and then you've got it? It is a gift. But if you want it to grow, if you want your faith to develop, you've got to do something about it. It's like a muscle in your body. If you don't use it, if you're held up in bed and you can't move, that muscle wastes away and it's very weak. It's very dangerous. We were joking with somebody around our house, and we were joking, that it's very dangerous to pray, Lord, give me faith. What do you think happens? You don't open the door one morning and there's a little gift wrap box from Amazon.co.uk on the door, and you open it up and you're, oh, it's faith, thank you, Jesus. I'll put that on. You get faith by being put into situations where you need it. Very dangerous to pray, Lord, give me more faith. Because the Lord will honor that prayer. And he will put you in positions or allow you to go into positions where you need faith to come through. And actually, we should all be praying that. We all want the next adventure of faith. Faith is an adventure. Faith is doing something. Faith is something happening. I don't want a boring watching Condemnation Street life. I want something to happen. Now, if it's watching Star Trek, that might be slightly different, but... Enterprise, of course, and some of you don't even know what that is, but never mind, you'll get the revelation. Hallelujah. No, I want a life that's full of God, that's seeing things happen, that's seeing lives change, don't you? Well, I mean, what else is there? Because what else there is pursuing a life of pleasure or pleasing yourself. And everybody knows where that leads. If you sow to please the flesh, where does it lead? Death. That's why you see so many rich people who at some point in their lives get very depressed, no matter how wealthy they are. It's not that wealth is wrong. Enjoy it. If you've got a lot of money, enjoy the money and give lots away. You know, use it as God directs, but it's not an answer. It's an old maxim that money can't buy you happiness. Some people have, but it helps. But and it can't. You can't buy happiness. Happiness comes from a fulfillment of knowing the Lord and fulfilling His call upon your life. But there are circumstances that can come up in which you think, this is fulfilling the call on my life, and you have to stand in faith. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. I mean, the early Christians knew what this was about. You know, most of them died earlier than most of us in the room. Yeah. Have you ever thought of that? Most of them died earlier, either because when they lived there wasn't the medical care that was available, or because they were martyred. And yet these people were still rejoicing and praising God, because they got a view of life that was beyond the now. They got a view of life that I'm living for eternity. That's why Paul could write, well, for me to die is to gain, to live is to gain. Whatever. Maybe he was the first person that said, whatever. Hallelujah. So take pursue after righteousness, godliness, faith, love. We know as agape. You know, often we know agape is when you love somebody with an agape love, it's to do something for them, it's to look after them, it's to put them first. But it is actually also, brotherly affection is included. It's not a cold kind of love. Sometimes you hear it preached on so much that it's about doing things and doing something for somebody else. To me, it sounds almost cold. There's no coldness in the word. Affection is very much part of agape. You know, God loves you, but He also has an affection for you. He actually really rather enjoys you. He actually loves hanging out with you. You know? Because He's got faith in you. And He's got a love for you. An agape love. A brotherly affection. Pursue love. How do you pursue love? You put it into action. You start doing things for others. The thing with doing things for others is what people find is actually it has a reward in itself. Although there's a heavenly reward, there's a reward in doing things. But before you start doing it, it can feel like it's just service. If you agape, you're thinking, what do other people need and how can I help? Whether it's in the church or outside the church. I mean, we're called to love one another. You know, how do you love one another? And I tell you one way we can love one another is we love one another when one fails or doesn't live up to our expectations. Because actually, folks, we're going to do that all the time. We better get used to the fact that none of us live up to what we expect. We can feel let down by church. We can feel let down by one another. And if you're walking in love, you won't hold that person accountable for that failure. You'll love them and help them to come into a position where they learn to love too. The worst thing we can do is take offense because somebody hasn't done what they should have done. And yet you see it bring churches down. You see it brings splits. Well, they weren't acting like a proper Christian. And you are? Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that road today. Godliness, faith, love, endurance. There's an interesting word. Yeah? Endurance, what does it mean? Just what it means. Endure, persevere, bear up. It does also mean have patience. It's not an endurance of despair, it's an endurance with hope, the Greek word. It's like, I will endure through this because I have something better on the other side. It's not I've just got to bear my cross. You know, you sometimes get people that sort of accept something that's wrong. This is my cross to bear. That's not Christian thinking. Okay, if there's something wrong, whether it's sickness or not enough money or whatever it is, or a problem in the family, it's not a cross that you must bear to help make you a better Christian. It is something which you might have to endure because God is taking you right the way through it because you have hope. You know there's another side to this. You hope. You know you're not stuck here. God is taking you through. And I will endure this because if I endure it, then God will cause me to grow. God will cause me to be more effective in my own life and in the lives of others if I endure through this. But I don't expect to just have to carry this around forever. Amen? Hallelujah. That God doesn't send things to make us better, to bear us, weigh us down. You know, oh, that's a pride person. Bring him down, Jesus. Grab him by the ankles until he smacks onto the floor, and through that pain we'll teach him. Does that sound like God? It doesn't sound like the God I know. But we do live a life. It's like the devil was saying in the video. He says, if we can make people believe that suffering is just not a normal part of human life, then when they do suffer, they're going to start questioning whether things are going wrong or whether God even exists, maybe. Let's convince them of that. No, there is suffering. But when there is suffering, we can come through. Because we're going to endure. We're not of those who fall back. All right, we're not going to give up because somebody else upset us. We're not going to give up because some Christian did something stupid. We're not going to give up because some dramatic circumstances have occurred in our life. We're not going to give up because I've lost my job. We're not going to give up because I'm sick. We're going to press on. I'm going to endure because I have hope that I'm going to the other side. Amen? You lot down the front are lovely. That lot down the back, very poor. Got lots of amens down here. They're winning. Okay? 1-0. And you might be wearing that gorgeous pink colour, but that doesn't let you off. Hallelujah. Where am I? Distracted. Gentleness. Oops. Okay, excuse me. Excuse me a minute. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'll carry on now. Carol, you're looking really lovely today. She is, actually. Yes, well, gentleness means consideration and humility. That's enough of that one. Hallelujah. Yeah, wouldn't we transform the world walking in gentleness? It doesn't mean weak. It doesn't mean a pushover. It means consideration, meekness, humility, considering others better than ourselves. There's so much in Scripture that's sort of almost impossible, and yet it's totally within our grasp because it's all by the grace of God. And Paul gives this amazing list to Timothy and then says, fight the good fight of faith. Everybody's heard that this scripture nearly. Fight the good fight of faith. The words he's using, fight and fight, they're the same Greek word. They're slightly different endings to give a different emphasis. But they're the same Greek word. And actually, it refers to sport. When it's saying fight, it means he's referring to like the games where they would compete. And he's saying, you know, pursue the victory prize, fight. It particularly applied to boxing and wrestling. So there is fighting involved. So it's a good job Billy's not here, or Joel, because they'd be really pleased to hear that. Fight the good fight. Wrestle for victory. Don't give up. Come on, Timothy. If you're going to, I've given you all this stuff. I've given you all this teaching. But listen, young man, you're going to have to fight for it. If you don't fight for it, you're just going to get your nose pushed in the dust. You're going to have to run. Think how an athlete prepares themselves for, say, that for running. It can also apply to running, this word, agonomai or something like that. It's actually the word that we get agony from. All right, this fight the good fight, the word used is like the word we derive agony from. That gives you a picture of what Paul is saying to Timothy, of what you need to endure if you're going to see everything that I'm talking about. Too many Christians, they give up before God's even got going. They get a sore toe and it's like, God didn't heal me. Come on, people. God has called us to defeat the enemy. We've got to come against some of the big nasties and see them destructed. But if we're going to do that, we've got to fight the good fight in our own lives. We've got to overcome sin in our own lives, overcome circumstances in our own lives. But we're only going to do it by fighting the good fight. Agonomai. It's something like agonomai. I don't know what the word for the is. Agonomai the something ago or something like that. Don't worry about the Greek. Forget that bit. Just delete it, okay? But it's fight the good fight. Run the race. Go for the victory. Pursue the victory. And to do that, you've got to be like an athlete, in other words. You've got to prepare. You've got to be ready. If you're going to run a marathon, you've got to do a lot of preparation. So as Christians, it's not just about when something happens, we get out our boxing gloves or we get out our wrestling shoes and wrestle. That's a bit like a red sash, that was. We wrestle the enemy to the floor. We've got to be ready for when the bout comes. We've got to be ready for when the enemy jumps in the ring with us. So we've got to be in training. You know, and that's why Sunday mornings are so important. I think we all know that. You're all here. I'm talking to the people who are not here. Are you listening, people who are not here? But it's part of the training. It's part of the getting ready. The worshipping, getting into God, it's part of the training. It's part of the getting ready. Hallelujah. Amen?
Hallelujah.
prayer times, the 9 o'clock. So if you're ever able to be there on a Tuesday or a Thursday morning up at Lamplugh, you know, if you don't work and you can come along, we have some great mornings. What's it doing? It's training us. We're going to be ready that when the enemy jumps in the ring, he doesn't just pin us to the floor and laugh at us, because all our muscles, our faith muscles, are all just weak and floppy. You know. Hallelujah. Don't be. We're going to be ready. And corporate prayer is a powerful thing for preparing those faith muscles, because you're trained and equipped by those who are in the group that are perhaps slightly further down the road than you. So, I don't know, between 15 and 30 people are up Lamplugh on a Tuesday and Thursday morning. Now, I know a lot of people can't make that because you've got jobs. But, you know, when you can. Mark Anstey took a retreat up there for 3 days this week. A retreat at Lamplugh. Hope you survived. But you've got this renewed husband back. and he took a retreat up there. So he was able to join in with those prayer meetings. And I tell you, he was such a blessing. He really was a blessing. He brought something extra. And this is the thing about the body of Christ, isn't it? We can think, oh, nobody will miss me. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, it does matter. Everything. We always bring something in who we are, because Christ is in us. You know, so don't miss them. They're precious. I'm sorry for those of you who can't get to them, but tough. Oh no, I'm supposed to be gentle. But what you might be able to get to then, of course, is God encounters on a Thursday night. Now, I'm not whipping up, I beg your pardon, I'm not trying to whip up everybody to get along to meetings. I'm just telling you, let's get trained, let's get ready. If you enjoy the worship on a Sunday morning and you've never been to a God encounter, well, on a God encounter, the worship is, it's just worship and prayer. I mean, the other week it was nearly all prayer, another time it'd be nearly all worship, but it is what it says it is on the tin. God encounter. We meet with God, we just do what he says. There's not usually any preaching, there's not usually any jokes, there's an incentive. It's just God encounter. It's a good night, Thursday nights up at Lamplugh. I'm just putting these before you because we're going to find the enemy this year. We've got an awesome year. God is speaking so many things over us about what God is going to do. Up there, I don't think we'll get to it this morning, looking at the time, but there, I put the mandate, Earth in the Glory, up. If you were coming to God encounters, you'll remember that. It's the mandate that God gave us through the prophet James Maloney. And it's just written down. We have a vision, dare to dream. You see that at the beginning of every service. Then comes up we've got a mandate from God. And this morning also, before we finish, I'm going to read to you a prophetic word that God has given me for us for 2010. Some of you that have been in God encounter have already heard it. Although I have prayed through it again and changed a few bits of it, you've basically heard it. And then I'll write it down and you can have a copy of it. Or I have written it down, but I'll print it out and you can have a copy of it. But this morning I'm just going to read it. But we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Contend for victory. We aren't going to win a race by having a stroll in the park. This is a talk this morning. This is a, come on, we're not going to be part-time. We're not going to be half-hearted. We are the people that are going to make a difference. Hallelujah. There's a guy on Twitter, somebody in town, and he, as far as I know, I don't think he's somebody that goes to church, but he's one of my followers on Twitter. And he keeps recommending, on Fridays you have on Twitter, it's a sort of a Twitter thing, you have what's called a Follow Friday, an FF. And you recommend people that you think are worth following on Twitter, because they say something interesting, more than just on the train to York. Tony, private joke, don't worry. Just making it public, because I'm not very gentle. And anyway, this guy on Twitter. Oh, the conviction that's coming this morning, isn't it lovely? Public humiliation and repentance. Anyway, he keeps recommending to follow me. And what he usually puts is the Make a Difference guy, Pastor Paul Abel. And it's because of why he calls me that is because what I put in the tweets, and because he knows now that I'm behind with Brian, the starting up of Street Angels. And he just thinks it's worth it. He just thinks it's good. But you know, that is actually our calling, to make a difference. Yeah. You know, and we can't think, oh, our church's got Street Angels, we're doing it. No, every one of us has got an individual responsibility to answer that call to make a difference. We're called to see the glory of God manifest on the earth. Amen? Well, you're going to see that in the Word. I think I'll read the Word to you now. Are you ready? Okay, now, I don't get a prophetic word like this very often. In fact, I can't remember ever doing something quite like this. I'll tell you how I got it. I was reading a book by Graham Cook, who is a prophet that many of you have probably heard of, a man of God, and I was reading bits of it. I haven't read the book fully, and I turned to the back at one time when I was flicking through it, and there was a prophecy there, and I thought, oh, that's interesting, and I read it. And as I read this prophecy that he'd written in the book, it was like, bang, God speaking to me. And so I took that, and then I started to pray around it. And as I prayed about this prophecy, it was like God expanded it, gave me different bits, cut bits out as well, actually, and sort of said, this is for you, this is for Kingdom Faith, this is what I want you to walk in 2010. Amen? How about that? And it might be new to some of you that a prophetic word can come. I mean, we're used to thinking of a prophetic word a bit more like a word of knowledge, where I might pray for somebody and give him a quick word, all right? That's different. I'm not a prophet, but I can speak prophetically because I have the Holy Spirit within me. Amen? As can we all. And too often, actually, we don't do this with prophecy and we waste it. You know, we should write down more. And there's nothing wrong with getting something from the Lord and writing it down, and you keep it there for a week, 2 weeks, a month, even a couple of months, when you're just praying and asking God to show you in fullness what that word is. You know, if you're getting words for the church, don't just bang it off to me or write it down. Pray it through. Say, what are you really saying, Lord? What is this that you've got here? I'm not talking about you working stuff out. You've got to get it from the Lord. But there is a time of just being aside with the God, and God said this, this, and this. And then as you pray, he says, now look, this is what I also mean when I said that. Amen? So here it is. It's written as a word of prophecy, so most of it is written as if it's directly from God to us, okay? I just say that in case anybody gets confused and thinks it's as if I'm speaking to you, in which case I'm a bit arrogant. It's not, it's the Lord. We are in a season of divine acceleration. All right, that's me. But the Lord is saying, we. Actually, I mustn't do this. I'm just going to read it. I could start preaching on every other line, couldn't I? All right. When God says we here, it's we, the Lord and us. So he's saying we together. I think that's really exciting. Yes. Anyway, I won't preach on it anymore. We are in a season of divine acceleration. I am accelerating what is happening. This is a word for your life, should you choose to accept it. To see this acceleration, you need to embrace this word. It will be a work of grace to you, and it is how I, the potter, am choosing to form the clay. Allow my hands to embrace you, to caress you, to press you, to change you. Yes, expect change, but there is no need to expect pain. Too many say that because I am moving, it is going to be painful. But it is not me who inflicts the pain. It is your own unbelief and disobedience. Pain is not your part to play. Pain is not your sacrifice. Jesus is your sacrifice. Even in the kiln, when the pot is being fired, it doesn't feel pain. It is merely being prepared for purpose. Pain does come, but from your resistance, when you feel that you can contribute. Instead, this is the time to trust in the potter's hands. Yes, you will go into the fire, but like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who felt no pain despite the fact that the furnace was extra hot, you shall not be burned, and you shall emerge not even smelling of smoke. You shall walk through fire, but you will not be burned. I am taking you into a new place of intimacy in worship. This acceleration flows from relationship. The quickening will come on your life now if you choose to accept it. What used to take years will take months. What once took months will take weeks. Where previously the expectation was weeks, it will now take days. And where it would have been days, it will be hours and moments. My favor is upon you for the accelerated development. As has been spoken over you before, Now is the time of reaching into heaven and drawing upon my promise. It is time to declare my word. Prophecy will be fulfilled more and more quickly. I said, let there be light, and there was light. Immediately, there was light. Creative words of prophecy and healing will bring an immediate release of power. The enemy has already been defeated. This is empowerment for breakthrough. Now, 2010 onwards is the time of the planting of the vineyards. These vineyards are miraculous. They bring much fruit in all seasons, with the planting and harvesting occurring together. A continuous new season. Previously, you've only seen the fruit from that which you did not sow. But this is like comparing a window box with the farmer's fields. Both grow plants, both produce seed, but the farmer's fields feed nations. One is only for display, but the other has purpose and destiny. One requires spare time, and one requires a wholly committed lifestyle. But now you must say yes. Yes, much faster, Lord, much faster, and you must mean it. If you want your lives to remain as they are now, you will not be meaning it. You will have to hang on. You will have to persist. You must crave intimacy. The favorite acceleration of acceleration is not always going to be easy, but it is going to be fun. We're going to enjoy it. Believe and you will see my glory. Walk in this over the next 12 months and you will be released in further anointing. I will renew your minds and open your hearts to see, and you will look at life through my eyes. You will see what I see. And the hallmark of this move of God, there will be laughter, intimacy, joy, and amazing faith in Jesus that rises up in you. Sounds good, doesn't it? You will rejoice over many victories that have taken such little time. Don't look at what is ahead in the way you have looked at the past 10 years. I am giving you new eyes. You will operate with a new heart and a new mind. You will think and understand differently. You will even wonder how you had ever thought that way before. You have prayed, your kingdom come, and I am establishing kingdom thinking in you. You will see in the spirit and understand. You will take kingdom provision and spread it into your life and into the world. You will see rapid victories as you see the kingdom come in situations and people's lives. There will also be times when you don't see quick victory, but it is only so the victory is complete. Sometimes I will allow the enemy to contend with you, but through this I will establish something in you that is deep, profound, and powerful. Keep smiling. Keep rejoicing. Resistance to the enemy and persistence in faith leads to the release of the double portion, ever-increasing anointing. When things appear to slow down, look for the increase. Make a stand. Worship me. Come into a place of intimacy. Join me in the most holy place, and you will know me, and I will reveal myself to you. I will establish the very thing you want to have, and you will see the power of God. You will know a level of wisdom and understanding that you have not known before. You will see into and operate within the realm of the Spirit in a way that you've not experienced before. Speak words of faith. Do not worry or be anxious. Do not fear, for you will know me. You will be strong in me and do amazing exploits in the next 12 months that will lead to years and years of growth. You will be the person I have made you to be, and you will be in a place where nothing overwhelms you. You will be a warrior like one of David's mighty men. I will cause greatness to rise up within you. Are you receiving this word? I know it's long, but are you receiving it? I will cause Kingdom Faith Yorkshire to be known and favoured in Scarborough, in this region, in this nation, and the nations. And yet even this 12 months is but still preparation for the release of the full inheritance that I will release upon you. Each one of you, I am calling into your ministry, your service. You will come into your anointing. You will walk in increasing abundance and favour, each one of you. You will know the hand of God upon you. You will know your heavenly assignment and who you are, and know who you are in Christ. You will reach into heaven and establish kingdom rule in the earth. You will reach into your future and pull it into the now. I have opened a window in heaven. I am pouring out my blessing upon you. Kingdom Faith Yorkshire is a certain place. It is a place of God encounter, a place where angels are ascending and descending, a place where people say, God is in this place, and I did not even know it. This is a place of the miraculous. This is a place of freedom, release, and anointing. This place is a gateway, and you are the gatekeepers. In this 12 months, you will see the glory of God come into your own life and circumstances. You will be an overcomer. The days of being your own enemy are ended. You will live as a conqueror over yourself so that you can join me on the great adventure. Nothing will overwhelm you because you know that every obstacle is an opportunity and the opposition will be laid low. That which rises up against you is only that which I have allowed so that you see the sovereignty and majesty of God. You will be filled to overflowing with the goodness of God and you will explode with joy. The power of God is even now overshadowing you and you are no longer, and you will no longer be the person you once were. It is time to get down to kingdom business. Dare to dream. The next 12 months are for you to discover me. Discover who I am. It's time for you to come to a place of trust, a place of peace, a place of rest, a place of faith. It is time for you to discover who I am as your father. I will enjoy myself as your father this year because you will stop whining. Your worship will be good to my ears. I will banish low self-esteem. I will do violence to self-hatred. I will bring you to a place where you are happy and relaxed about who you are in me, because when I look at you, I am happy and relaxed. You are amazing, but you're not much of a challenge to me. I can do this, and it is no effort to me. What I am doing in you is releasing my kingdom on the earth, earth in my glory. I am doing a quick work. These are days of acceleration, and in all this, through you, I will be glorified. Amen. Bet you can't wait to get your copy now. Hallelujah. I've written some stuff on the end as well, so that when you get it, there's some brief instructions on what to do with it, about how to take this and use it in your own life. I mean, one of the things you need to do is to take it and then take the word of God and say, right, how is this highlighting this scripture for me? Because this is not the word of God, this is the word. No, if the video's on the Kingdom Faith website, but the link to it is. And you know, check those out. The mandate's very good for praying through, as will this be. Amen? And we're not going to have any ministry this morning. Hallelujah. We ministered to the whole church last week, didn't we, Kate? So much so that I'd get to the end of a line and suddenly there'd be a load of new people. And you'd be thinking, where did they come from? And I know one chap, somebody had rung him on their mobile and said, come in. Because you're thinking, well, they weren't there during the service. Hallelujah. But I think what we need to do is finish with a song just rejoicing. Because you've just heard that word from God, so I think it's a good chance to rejoice. Don't worry about taking everything on board from it, because as I say, I will give it out to you. But if there's something that God highlighted, do take hold of that. Start praying into it.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.